And today, as we talk about this word instead, we've been on this series instead about what we could do instead of what we currently do. And when you think about the church, how many of you guys know that the church is not a building, right? That's what we say. I mean, I'm going to tell you that if you look up church in the dictionary, the first thing says is that it's a building where the followers of God meet. But we say the church is not a building because we know it's actually a group of people, right? That's the main importance there. But since we call this place a church, we have to call it a church because that's what everybody else does, and they wouldn't know where we're talking about. And if we just say that place where believers of God meet, then it's too much, it's too long. You come up with another term, now you're a cult because, like, well, most people just go to church. I mean, it's too complicated. But we have this thing where we have this distinction between, there's a difference between the building that the believers meet in and the believers as they assemble and what they are. The followers of Jesus Christ, they are the church. Amen? They are his body, the body of Christ. And so if we are the church collectively, then I individually am not the church, right? I am a part of the church. I am a member of the church because the church is made up of many members. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Individually, we're members. Together, we are the body. If you look at it that way, if you really think about the point that I, as a believer in Christ, I am not the church on my own. I'm only the church when I am with other believers, when I am doing things with other members, when I am a part of the body, when I am connected, you could say that we really kind of need each other, don't we? I mean, it's really kind of important that we have connection to other believers. And I wonder why, when you consider that, why we see so much individuality in the church these days. A lot of people actually attend church, and this is according to studies done by Barna. If somebody could turn up maybe those backlights just a little bit, it seems pretty dim out there. I want to be able to tell who's sleeping in the back, all right? Don't be trying to trick me. I see Amanda over there holding up her coffee, showing me how she's awake, you know. But according to, like, studies like Barna, you know, they will show that many people, most of the people that reply to the survey, will say that they actually go to church because they need something. They go to church when they want something. Now, this isn't bad. This isn't, like, a bad thing. I go to church because I need the fellowship, because I need healing, because I need to hear the word. But they go typically because they need something. Typically because they need some kind of thing in their life met. Now, what's the problem with that being the motivator behind going to church? Aren't there a lot of Sunday mornings where you may wake up and you think, I'm good today? I mean, if somebody asked you how you were doing today and you felt like today was the worst day that you've had in like 6 months when you came in here, and they said, how are you today? You probably said what? I'm fine, right? I'm good. And not only are we dishonest with people, now sometimes it's not dishonesty, you just don't feel like opening up to those people for whatever reason, but we are dishonest with people, but we're also dishonest with ourselves. And so if I go to church when I need something, that means when I don't need something, I am less likely to go to church. Okay, when you think about it like this, if it's the decision is made based on if I need something or I don't need something, that's a me first attitude, right? What can I get? How do I feel? What do I need? But I want to tell you something that Paul said, and you guys have probably heard this. Many of you have probably even said it. Paul said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. This means that you are more blessed. It means you are better off. That means that there is more coming your way, actually, when you give than when you get. Because the more you give, the more you are able to receive. You guys may not know this, but all of these microphones up here are cordless. They all have rechargeable batteries. And I don't know if you know much about rechargeable batteries. Somebody in here is a super nerd and knows more about rechargeable batteries than I do, okay? And so I might get something wrong. Just tell me after the service. It's okay. It's just an illustration. I probably don't have it completely right. But how do rechargeable batteries work? Right? When you buy a battery, it has so many cycles. That's what it's built for. It may be built for 1,000 cycles. Okay? That means you can drain it and recharge it 1,000 times. Hopefully. That's what the goal is. That's how it was tested. And so you can only receive charge if you're not full, right? We have batteries we leave sitting on the charger that are full, that are there just in case we need them, but we don't actually charge them. They're already charged. They're just sitting there. You can't really recharge them if you don't use them. They're just staying the same as they were. Now, if you are to drain them to about 50% and put them back on the charger, and then you use it again and you drain it to 50%, you put it back on a charger, what happens is a memory gets built up in that battery. And so now that's still a cycle. It's not a half cycle. So still, it's using the life of the battery. It's not able to receive near as much charge because you're not draining it all the way down, but you're still using a cycle. So what's best for them is to drain them all the way down. You'll notice we leave ours on until they die sometime throughout the week. It's best to drain them down and then charge them back up to 100%. We, people, are built to have so many cycles. You could say days or years or whatever kind of measurement you want. Do you know how many that is? Well, not really. You can kind of look at what the average is about how long people typically live and be like, that's about how many cycles I'm probably built for. And so we have these cycles that we're built for. And the more that we give, the more that we can receive. The more that we pour out, the more that we can be recharged, that we can be refilled. And so our lives are not about just staying on the charger. See, a lot of people just want to stay on the charger. I just want to receive, 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 receive. Fill up, fill up, fill up. I don't ever want to be drained. I don't ever want to be emptied. I don't ever want to be half full. I don't ever want to be in any of those states. I just want to just pack more and more in. Well, here's the problem. If we're not ever pouring out, you're probably not really receiving anything more in. You're probably really just more or less staying the same as what you already were, and you're just on standby just in case. Some of you guys are in a fire extinguisher in a glass box. It's like, in case of emergency, break glass, right? It's like never being used, but I'm there just in case. Well, listen, somebody has to come along and check on that fire extinguisher and make sure it still functions when you don't use it. And so when we think about these cycles and about how we pour out to get filled back up, listen, just like with a battery, we want to make every cycle of our lives count. And so for us as people, we have to be of this mindset where we're more focused on we instead of me. Now, I know this is a big problem for us because as people, we're selfish. As people, we have needs. As people, we have things that we want. But I'm just saying, it's not that you can't ever focus on me, right? That's a big thing right now, is focus on yourself. You do need to do that. You do need to take care of yourself. But I'm saying when it comes to our relationship with people, when it comes to our blending together, being the church, assembling in that setting, in that aspect of life, we have to be more focused on we than on me. Romans 12:5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Not just members of his body, but also members of one another, that we are tied together because of our faith in Christ. And so if we are members of one another, then when you win, I win. When I win, you win, right? We're in this together. We're on the same team. We're members of one another. We need each other. And so if I focus on we instead of me, if I'm looking at what is best for you, what's best for us, How can I bless you? How can I help the person sitting next to me or in front of me or behind me? How can I encourage that person? How can I give something of myself today? If we can think about it like that, instead of thinking about, do I need something? Well, I don't need to go to church today. I'm good. What I need is to get my yard mowed. Okay, well, good point. Maybe you do need to get your yard mowed. But I'll tell you what, maybe there's somebody here that needs something from you today. Maybe there's somebody here that needs the blessing of your friendship, of your smile, of your hug, of the word of encouragement that I love what Skylar said earlier. She came up here to pray, wasn't even going to say anything, but God kept showing her something, speaking something to her. How would she have communicated that with all of us if she had stayed home to do laundry today? How would she? She probably wouldn't even received that message today, let alone had the opportunity to share it. And many of you don't have the opportunity to just come stand up here and share into the microphone, but it may just be for the person that's sitting next to you or behind you. It may be for the person that you see in the parking lot as you're walking out and you go to get into your car today. What I'm getting at here, church, is that we have to think about our assembling together less and less and less about me and what I need, and more and more and more about we and what can I do for the rest of the body. What can I do to pour out because there's somebody that needs something that I've got today? See, you are not the church. We are the church together. Now, that goes for every believer in Christ. Amen? That's not just for the people in this room or this building right now. You know why I go to Minister Alliance meetings every single month? There's times I don't want to be there because I don't need anything and I'm busy and I got stuff to do. But I'm going to tell you, I don't ever miss one unless I'm out of town. You know why? I don't know what somebody else in that room might need that I can provide today, that another pastor could be going through a discouraging season and need somebody just to talk to, just to pray for him, just to believe in him, just to encourage him. Or there could be some other issue that I don't know about. I have to remember and remind myself constantly, you don't always go to those meetings because you need something, Tim. You go to those meetings because somebody else may need something. And it's what keeps me going month after month after month. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. John 13, Jesus said in verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this," by what? Loving one another. "By this you will know," or all will know, "that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Love is about others. It's about others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you guys know the love chapter, Paul talks about this love. He says a lot of things about love, and the one that I try to always remember, the one you try to always remember is usually the one that you probably need to hear. Some of you are like, love is patient, because my husband or wife needs to learn patience, right? So that's the one that you know, or because it's the first one. Love is kind, because so-and-so in my life needs to learn to be kind. The one that I always remember is that love is not self-seeking. It means that it's not about you. It's about others. It's about the other people. It's about those around you. It's about Christ. It's about people. And this is what Connection Church is about. Amen? Not being self-seeking. Not everything being about me and what I can get or what I need. Our mission, we went over in our membership meeting this morning, our mission is to connect with Jesus, then connect with people, then connect people with Jesus. Church, that's what it's all about. If everything we're doing is not pointing toward that, then we're wasting our time. That first of all, you and I have to have our own connection with him, because otherwise whatever we do have to give isn't any good. Like if you take a a battery and you put it on a charger that doesn't work, that has no power, what good is that battery? See, a lot of people are connected into a charger, but that charger ain't connected into the wall. It's got no power. You're not connected to the giver of life. You're not connected to the one who can actually change things. And if you're not, then it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what the meter reads. You might be full of something, but it's not the Holy Spirit, right? And so that doesn't give a good impact on people's lives. We've got to connect with Jesus. Then we've got to connect with people, because listen, that's what we're here for. Amen? You ever think, why am I still here? Lord, why, like, I know Jesus is Savior. How come we don't just know him and then beam me up, Jesus, right? Just like, let's be done with it. Take me home. It's because we're still here to connect with people. We're still here to connect people with him, right? And so it has to be in that order. Connect with Jesus, then people, and connect those people with him. That's we instead of me, church. That's an attitude and a mindset of, I got to do what is good for the body and for the rest than I do for me. We can't just be straight consumers. Now, I've been in church leadership for about 15 years, okay? Some of you in this room have been in church leadership for even longer than that, and we've been in meetings together, and we've talked about this one exact very thing, that if you've been in church leadership, you know these numbers. They stand out to you. They probably make your stomach turn a little bit, give you a headache. They make you a little anxious or angry or whatever it is. 80-20. How many of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about just by saying those percentages? Probably more of you than what would like to admit. 80-20. It means that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people do 80% of the work in the church, specifically. It's historical, documented. It's been tried and true for decades and decades and decades. This isn't like the current culture, okay? This has been as long as you can go back and look at it. That means that 80% of the people have me-focused consumerism that I come to church to get, to receive. And do you know what consumers do? Do you know what a consumer is? I'll give you an example of what a consumer is, okay? When I sit down to a nice double bacon cheeseburger, okay, probably my favorite thing. I know, Paige, right? Hit you in the heart, didn't it? Double bacon cheeseburger. But double bacon cheeseburger, if I sit down at one, okay, I am going to tear into that thing. My sister once said, I wish I could find a guy that looked at me like Tim looks at a double bacon cheeseburger. That's the truth. That's a fact. It's been said. She's upstairs teaching. You can ask her after church. She said that. Okay, I wish I could find a guy that looked at me like Tim looks at a double bacon cheeseburger. Okay, when I sit down at one, there's a couple things that are guaranteed to happen. Okay, number one is that I'm gonna get something on my shirt. Okay, it's a promise, right? I mean, you can take it to the bank. There's probably a shirt sitting on the dryer right now. As a grease spot or barbecue sauce or something from me trying to eat. The other thing that's going to happen is I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy that double bacon cheeseburger. There's not going to be a trace of it. You're not going to even know that it exists until you look over at me and you see me wiping all the grease off of my hands and the barbecue sauce or cheese or whatever off of my face. And you're going to look at me and think, what happened to that burger that was just there? I consumed it, right? I consumed it, or I destroyed it, okay? That's what consume means, to use up or devour or destroy. And so consumers destroy. Now, when we have 80% that are consuming, 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 and we wonder why are those 20 that serve, the same 20 that set up for the event and served at the event and cleaned up from the event, Why do we see them step out of leadership and want to take a break and sometimes ultimately step out of the church? Why do we see this pattern happen over and over and over? Because the consumers destroy. Because they don't give of themselves. They give, 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 and the others get tired, tired, tired. At a certain point, they get wore out. Why do you think that Paul gave us this warning in Galatians 6, 9? Let us, believers, me and you, Paul, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, he's saying this to the believers because he sees it and knows it and has been through it where he's just been so drained and tired of being the 20% that does 80% of the work. He's saying, listen, guys, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't do it. Don't get wore out, because sometimes people do grow weary. Sometimes before the harvest comes, before we have a chance to reap, sometimes we grow weary. Sometimes we lose heart. Some of you in this room have been in that spot. Probably if you are a Christian, you've been in the spot where at some point you've served and you've grown weary. But he says, do not lose heart. If you don't lose heart, then you'll remember what you're doing. You'll remember why you're doing it. What's the heart? The heart is not that I'm serving people. It's that I'm serving God. Now, this is on us. This is on us to remember our focus, that it's we instead of me, that I'm serving God and doing his work, not this person who is not doing what I expect them to do. And I've told Christy and I've told our elders for like years now, I'm like, I get the 80-20 model. I understand the 80-20 model. I do not accept it. And we're not going to be an 80-20 church. We're just not. Now, what say do I have over that? Not very much, right? I really don't. It's up to everybody. But I'm just saying I don't accept that. It may be the norm, but I don't accept what is the norm. Because I'm believing that as God moves upon our heart, I want every person to be serving with whatever gifts and talents that God has given them. Now, listen. Sometimes you got to serve in an area that you're not gifted, that you're not talented, okay? That's draining. It's tiring. It's wearing. Therefore, you better be serving in an area that you are gifted, that you are talented, because those things will fuel you and charge you back up and keep you going. I don't want to be that 80-20 kind of church. I believe that we are more than that because we have the power of Christ in us, amen? And we're not held to those numbers and those standards of man. I believe that God has given his body, every body of believers that is really a part of the big C church, he's given us all every single thing that we need to do everything that he's calling us to do. I really believe that. I really do, with all my heart. I also believe that he's waiting on people to step up and do things that he's told them to do. He's waiting on people to step up and do things that he's called us to do in the local body, but also outside the local body. You know, Skylar going with the Jesus Illinois group this weekend, that's an opportunity that we can't necessarily provide for her right here, right? It's something she feels called to do that is part of the church, part of the body of Christ that is outside of here. Praise God. I remember years ago when Mark used to take people down to minister to the homeless, and it was on Sunday mornings. Like, oh my goodness, he's not in church on Sunday morning, but he was ministering to different people in a different way. It's not about church attendance, but there are times you got to come here to be filled up to be able to go out there and be poured out. When we think about this 80-20 model, listen, 80-20 is pretty decent for a hamburger blend. I know a lot about hamburgers. But 80-20 is a pretty decent blend for a hamburger. I mean, I'll do 90-10, but, you know, 80-20 is pretty good. It's not a good model for the house of God. It's just not. You know, we're not a hamburger blend. We're the people of God. And I believe that he expects more from us. Jesus did not die on a cross to forgive us for our sin, to rise from the dead, to offer us the same life that we already had, but now we go to church on Sunday. Listen, if that's all it's for, what a waste of time. What a waste of his time, right? If that's all we get out of that, is that I live the same exact life that I lived before, except now I got an appointment every Sunday that if I don't show up, somebody's going to be calling me or checking on me, right? What good is that for our lives? He died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us a new life. Now, what is that life? It's a life that is devoted to him and to his bride, the church, serving as he served, we instead of me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 tells us, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing, somebody say nothing. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. Do you see a theme here? That's we instead of me. Right? That's I'm living for another purpose other than just what I want. He said nothing through selfish ambition or conceit. We talked about Wednesday morning at Bible study, we talked about the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit and how important that is, because it's not just unity. Amen? Like, we're not supposed to just be united, but we're supposed to be united by one thing, the Spirit of God. That's how we have the same love. The love that was poured out for us on the cross. The love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be of one accord, right? It's like we're working together, striving. That means to strive together, work together. Listen, it's difficult sometimes being of the same mind, the same accord. But it means that we've got to work toward it. By what? By coming back to, wait a minute, okay, same love. What is in me is in you. What is in you is in me. Unity of the Spirit. What is God's plan for ourselves? Nothing through selfish ambition. Turns out, wait a minute, that is just what I want. And so maybe I need to drop it. Maybe I need to submit that to God and say, okay, so it turns out that's what I wanted and not what you want. Not conceit, thinking that, well, I've been here longer. I know how this goes, or my position is higher, so your opinion doesn't matter. No, not through conceit, like you're really nothing at the end of the day, right? Jesus is everything. Consider others more important than yourselves. We're supposed to look out for the interests of others as well as our own. This is all about we instead of me. It says this is the mind of Christ. This kind of mind, the kind that is we instead of me, the kind that doesn't matter if a person is Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or non-denominational, which is a denomination. It doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter which one. We're all in this thing together. Amen? I mean, if you preach Christ crucified, risen from the dead, right? If you preach salvation through Christ and Him alone, listen, we're on the same team. Not only are we on the same team, but we are members of one another. We're members of one another. That means we have a duty and a responsibility to think we instead of me. And so I want to say that on a local church level. Man, not everything's about me, as in Connection Church. We have other amazing churches in this community and surrounding communities that we try our best to work with and to be for and to support and to build up, because I don't care if someone goes to church here or at the Christian church or the Church of God. It doesn't make any difference to me. What makes a difference to me is, do they know Jesus and are they living their life for Him? That's it. That's it. I don't care what congregation they call home or what church family is their church family, because ultimately at the end of the day, we're all family, right? We're all related. We're all adopted as sons and daughters of Christ. And so when we think about this mindset that we're all in it together, it's not about our reputation as a church body, unless that reputation is those people really look like Christ. Not more like Christ than somebody else, just that they look like Christ. When I go there, I experience the love of God through the people of God. I experience a welcoming. I experience a belonging. I experience something different about those people. The people that defy that 80-20 model, why? Not because they give everybody a task to do, but because the people come in with a heart that says, how can I help? What can I do? Holy Spirit, what do you have for me to do today? How can I be like Christ today? Always serving. Always serving. Look through the Word of God and try to find a time when Jesus was in the midst of people that He was not serving. Find a time. Even with Mary and Martha. You remember that story? Remember Martha's washing His feet. Mary's in there working, doing all that stuff. I guarantee you, even right there, even as His feet were being washed, He was still serving. I will bet you He's telling them all about the kingdom of God. I bet you He's telling them all about how He and His connection to the Father and how great it is, how amazing it is, how life-changing it is. See, He was a servant. He is a servant. And there are times in our lives where we've got to remember we're supposed to be like Him. We should always remember that. But I'm saying there's times in our lives where we lose sight of that, that Jesus is a servant, that He is the one who set the example for you and for me. That as He speaks of the kingdom of God, He's always thinking about the greater good. And when we look at the early church, they were always together. They were always praying. They were always eating. Hallelujah. They were always reading God's word, and they were always growing. Always growing. Numerically, more and more people. Why was that happening? Because they had more of a me-centered culture than we do nowadays. They were always growing numerically, but they were also growing in spirit. They were growing in spirit because they had a we instead of me kind of mindset. Church, that's the key. See, there's a lot of times we think in our lives that, man, if I want to be closer to God, I want to be able to preach or to sing worship or to train other people up or to evangelize or I want to do this or that or the other thing. Here's the key. We always think about me. If I read my Bible more, if I pray more, if I this more, if I that more, how about if we just begin to think about if I serve more? If I make my life more about we than about me, then those opportunities will present themselves. When we see Jesus by himself, he almost exclusively is by himself for one thing. Anybody know what it is? To pray. The only times we really see him go off by himself are times when he needs to pray. Times when he needs to get filled up because all he's done is pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. He's like, I got to go get by myself to get filled back up. Why? So I can go back amongst the people and pour out again and pour out again and pour out again. See, he constantly was giving all that he had. He constantly was giving everything that he had to give. And he knew that for me to do that again, I got to go get filled up again. To get filled up, he had to get emptied out. And when he got emptied out, he went and got filled up. And he lived this cycle, like those batteries, year after year. He only had 3 years. He had like a quick cycle. But listen, he did a lot more with that amount of power than what you and I do in a year. If we were all doing what Jesus did in a year, in 3 years, and we did that in 3 years, we'd all be done, right? This would be over. We'd probably all be in heaven by now. He got alone with God to get filled up. And when I think about him going to the garden and facing the cross, he said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. See, he said, I have this tendency to think about me. Jesus in his humanity right here, Jesus in his flesh. I have this tendency, this burden, this desire, this inclination to think about me and what I am facing. But at the end of the day, he said, but Father, it's not about me, right? It's about we. He said, I choose the we instead of me. This is what I would like to have happen, but I know that there's got to be something more. And so not as I will, but as you will, we instead of me. This is our God, church. This right here is our model for life. This right here is the like-mindedness that we are supposed to have. The same love, the one accord, the one of Jesus, the one who said he came to serve, not to be served. We instead of me. Will you stand with me? Father, I thank you and praise you for your word this morning. God, I thank you for this challenge even for each of us to do what Christ even had to do in the garden, which is come to that point of realizing that of course I want my way. Of course I would prefer what is beneficial to me. Of course I would prefer what my will is, but Lord, what our call is to be focused on the work of the kingdom. What our call is to be the church, which is a group of believers, not individual believers. What we're called to be is members of one body, having many gifts and many functions. What we're called is to be a part of the Big C Church, the Bride of Christ, not just Connection Church. And God, I pray that today, right now, that you would speak to our hearts. God, you know what our need is. You know where our lack is at. You know where the breakdown is in that, in each and every one of our lives. And so right now, we surrender to you. And Father, we say, we instead of me. God, we say that for us, we want to be kingdom-minded. We want to be those that come in, whether it's to a church service here or if it's a community service or it's an event out in the community, whatever it is that we come in and our mindset is, how can I help? What can I do? How can I give? Where can I pour out? Lord, what do you have for me to do that we would pour out all that we have, that we could go back into our prayer closet at home and get filled up once again to repeat that cycle? God, let us not waste the cycles that you've given us. Let us be those that will use the power that you have given the church, believers, power. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. Lord, let us not be those that waste that power, but that every cycle, every year, every day, every moment, we would use it to the fullest to get filled back up, to be drained back down, to get filled back up, all for your kingdom and all for your glory. And so, Lord, as we go back into worship, Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you'd minister to us as we lift high the name of Jesus in this place. We love you and praise you because you are worthy, and you are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.